Well, boys and girls, I know you're on holidays, but Agent Blue neither sleeps nor slumbers. Let's see what he's up to. Thanks, Agent Blue.
Good morning, boys and girls. Secret Agent Blue. Hope you're having a great holidays, boys and girls. I'm in my office today, getting ready for my next secret assignment. You see, Major C, yes, boys and girls, C has had a promotion. She's now Major C. Yes, boys and girls, you may think that that means maybe before she was Minor C. But you'd be very brave to say that to her. So Major C is sending me on a special assignment. This means I'll be away for 6 weeks. Yes, boys and girls, 6 weeks. I hear you say that's the same as Pastor Donnie's going to be away. Correct, boys and girls. My assignment from Major C is to follow Pastor Donnie on his holidays. You see, apparently he's very bad at taking holidays, days off, time out. Apparently he's a bit of a workaholic. Boys and girls, I'm going to follow him and I'm going to report to Major C every time I see him on his phone, every time I see him working, every time I see him talking to people about Jesus. I'll let him do that, because you do that when you're on holidays or not. Anyway, boys and girls, I'll be away for 6 weeks, but we're also interviewing some other agents to take over my role in other areas of secret assignments. So, if there's any budding secret agents out there, send in your application to Major C, care of Kiwanis Life Baptist Church, and we'll start the interviews. So boys and girls, I hope you have a fantastic time. I hear you've got a speaker from Baptist World Aid today. That should be excellent. I think it'll be fantastic. I think his name's John Mansfield. And boys and girls, just because you're on holidays, you still got to love one another. You still got to be good to one another. You still got to look out for one another. Give your mums and dads a big hug for me. Be good. Be nice. Have fun. Hey, boys and girls. Secret Agent Blue, out for 6 weeks. See ya.
Yep. All right, we'll just pray for John. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this opportunity, having John with us this morning. We thank you for that video and the way that it has spoken into our lives already. So please be with him. Fill him anew with your Holy Spirit. Anoint him for this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, mate.
Thanks, Donnie. Hope you can hear me all right. First of all, look, I just want to say thanks so much for having me along today. And I'm just going to say something to you. You guys live in the most amazing place on earth. Don't you agree? Yeah, absolutely. So I've travelled the world a fair amount, and I've got to say, this you can't beat. And you look at the weather out there today. And the other thing that I want to just say, Pastor Donnie, I've been having a great time getting to know this man. I think we've had 3 or 4 coffees over a 6 or 9 month period. I'm very fortunate now to live up here at Moffat Beach, God's playground. And I think we've had a couple of coffees in God's backyard down there, sitting on the rocks or whatever it is down there with Donnie. But I've discovered that there's a couple of things that we share. I have to respect him because he is my elder by about 3 months, I believe. We're both pastors with scruffy hair and like to wear our thongs and get down the beach and just do community. But chatting to him the other day, I also discovered I used to own a milk run, and his eyes lit up and he got all excited. And I now know where he's got his bad knees from, because we both share bad knees because we did milk runs when we were young guys. And it was a very sad week for us in some ways, because we lost a great champion cricketer. And I also found out that this young man here, and I'll call you young, right, because you are, actually had a passion for cricket. Now, he tells me that he was a ace wicketkeeper and a opening batsman, and I was a fast speed bowler, opening bowler. And in our conversation, I suddenly discovered that Donnie and I actually probably played together. We played in the same comp. about 35 years ago. And after I left him the other day, he told me that I still have this recognition, this vivid memory of this batsman facing me, and I was bowling, and I think I got you out first ball, middle stump. And if he wants to take me on later, we can do that. But look, it's been a pleasure to get to know you, Donnie, and it's just so great to be here with you this morning. Now, Baptist World Aid, I mean, you just saw that video. I don't know what that does to you, but the three young ladies in three different countries, and quite often these girls, or boys, pictures on your fridges where people sponsor a child with a little profile and a magnet holds it on there, and we get to get some letters from them on a yearly basis. But just to see them up there now actually does something to me, and I'll talk into that in a moment. But I just wanted to start by saying that 2020 has been a year like we've never seen before. Would you agree with that? It's been a time of change. It's been a time of uncertainty. But for me, I believe it's also been a time to focus on the love of God through the turmoil and pain. I've been sponsoring children now for about 35 years with Baptist World Aid. And I've sponsored kids in Bangladesh, in the Philippines, Uganda and Kenya. And I can tell you one of the highlights of my life has actually been about 15 years ago. I used to volunteer for Baptist World Aid, and I actually led a team of sponsors here in Australia into the depths and the darkness of Uganda and Africa, into places where you just would never have believed in your lifetime you could go. And we went in there actually to actually seek out these sponsored children, to look at the community development projects. And I can tell you something, there's nothing like it when you meet these kids, to see their love, to see the gratitude, the thankfulness that they actually carry because of their sponsors here back in Australia. But it's not just that we do something for them, but in return you could see the love of Jesus. You could see their thankfulness, as I just said, but you got to meet their families if they had families. You got to see the work that Baptist World Aid was actually doing with the whole community, taking them out of that poverty cycle. Now, I was a pastor last year, had been for a little while, at River Life Church for about the last 8 years, but an opportunity came up with Baptist World Aid to work for them full time. And so God gave me that job, and I started there in Cambodia this year. So I just got in before all those border shutdowns. And I managed to lead another team actually in of pastors actually from Victoria and Canberra and New South Wales, so that we could visit some of the community projects that we did in the north and the south. The program was actually a little bit two-pronged too. It wasn't just to see the project, but it was to meet the project partners on the ground, the Christian partners that we work with. And I'll speak a little bit more into that in a moment, but I just wanted to say, and by the way, thanks worship team. Some of those songs I think were picked today around some of the scripture verses that I'd actually chosen for this message. God's amazing. And it says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, he has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has also set eternity in the hearts of man. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Now that's a favourite verse of mine, you know. God has placed and seated eternity, not just in a few men, but all men. All right? And he's been working from beginning to end. 2019 was a fascinating year for us. We actually got on with life as usual, went about our jobs, went about planning holidays, maybe that overseas trip, getting all excited. Some of us actually might have been planning just an interstate holiday, or maybe your church, Donnie, you might have been working on a community project, maybe for the youth or something special. And life seemed to go on normal. But in 2019, we also, in our own country, was challenged with a couple of very challenging things. Does anybody know what they were? Did I hear bushfire over there on my right? I think I heard a whisper. We actually had severe droughts, and I was part of a mission team last year where I managed to go out to St. George to do some farm runs. And to see the devastation, until you get there, you don't really understand what our farming community is actually going through. But to be there, to love on them, to support, to pray with them is something special. Then it wasn't long after that that a lot of these places that were in drought got hit with severe flooding, from one thing to the other. And then, of course, as we all know, we then went about our business, but 6 months of the year was tied up with bushfires, devastating fires that actually ravaged Australia. And the tragedy in all that, we actually saw lives lost, whole communities displaced. But we managed to work through life still, didn't we? We still got there. But 2020 suddenly brought a whole new dynamic. There was a bit of a twist and things were so unfamiliar to us all. I'm just going to mention a couple of things. It sounds a bit sad, but I just want us to think through the process. The political stage seems to be the most unstable that we have ever witnessed around the world, probably in our lifetime. COVID, we all know that word too well now, has been spreading around the world, seeing many lives lost. Countries have been at war with actually whose fault it is. There's vaccination races going on to see who can come up with the first cure. But we know that the infection in a lot of countries is actually growing. It's not slowing down. We've experienced suddenly something new to us all. Border shutdowns. Schools and retirement homes closed. Businesses stopped in their tracks. And the closing of all international travel and sport and general life as we knew it. Amidst all this, our attention was sadly drawn, and rightly so, to Black Lives Matter and the rights around the world, including our very own country, seeing rioting in streets, and sadly still seeing it growing and escalating. The other thing that we're accustomed to in Australia is that there's been a lot of refugee protests of recent. You've probably seen that down in Brisbane. But the reality is refugee camps around the world are growing. You would have also seen the news, some of those refugee camps actually being burnt down, families displaced, children separated actually from their parents. Some of those kids, the danger of falling into child slavery or into the sex industry is also a great fear that a lot of people have. And then we were suddenly hit with the devastating explosion this year in Lebanon, causing further havoc to a country that was actually already suffering from war, politics, starvation, and a lot of pain. In that country alone with that blast, it was close to 300 people lost their lives and 6,500 injured, and there was over 300,000 people that actually were displaced as far as their living goes. They lost where they lived. And the list goes on and on. We could just keep talking about it, but it sounds negative. But it's reality. But at the same time, Baptist World Aid actually managed to be in a lot of those places that I just talked to you about, bringing salt and light, the love of Jesus, into dark places, bringing hope, bringing hope. As I said, it's very easy for us to get caught up in what is happening around us, but I'm reminded of this verse in Mark 6, and we'll all know it, it's all very familiar, and it simply says, "But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." Then here's the cruncher, the next verse. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." Now, I don't know what that verse does to you when I've just read out all those things and some of these things are on our heart and we do get worried. But I believe that God actually takes care of all of our needs. Each and every need, everything that we need, he will supply. And during this time, I was actually thinking about the word thankfulness, which led me to, do I have gratitude? And what does gratitude mean? Now, gratitude is, it's actually a beautiful word. And when you look it up, a simple dictionary definition of gratitude is the quality of being thankful. And it's a readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. Now, I was recently challenged, and this only happened about 6 weeks ago. I was going to my life group on a Monday night, and I turned up, met the life group leader, and they just said, "Look, John, I've had a terrible day. Unfortunately, you know, my business is under pressure with COVID. I've just turned on the news. It's absolutely smashed me. I can't think with what's going on. Can you lead the group tonight?" Now, little did they know that I had a tough day too, and I probably wasn't thinking clearly, and I saw the news as well. And as I was thinking, well, what will we do? Will we just reflect? Will we do some worship together. Knock on the door, and my friend Mark turned up. And it's like God just set him up for the night. He was driving to Life Group, and just God laid it on his heart to actually take over for the night. And God gave him a word. And he came in with some pens and papers, and he sat down and he said, look, what I want you to do today or tonight is to sit down and start giving thanks to God. Right? Start giving gratitude. Start listing everything that actually happened in the last 12 months that was good. Start doing it for month by month, maybe week by week, and even what has happened in the last few days. Stop and think about the little things that have actually happened today with people that don't really know you that well. Give God thanks. And to my surprise, we sat there and you could hear the pen scribbling all night while we listened to worship, and we took about a half an hour and the lists were actually long. And we were actually all taken back to, wow, how good is God in this time? He asked us to share if we were comfortable, and people talked about their families. They talked about their friends, loved ones. They talked about their neighbours, all these little things that were happening. And the things that really struck the most was the little things that seemed to be insignificant but were huge. He then turned around and challenged us, well, old faith people, and said, I've got a question through all this. Do you actually love yourself through this period? Can you love yourself, and do you love yourself? Because if you can't, how can you love your neighbour? Now, we stopped and we thought about that, well and truly. And it actually brought back to another thing too, about how do we reframe our thinking in tough times. Now, I'm in the process of studying a counselling psychotherapy degree, and one of the terms, if you know much about counselling, is a word reframing. Now, reframing simply means picking up something that is troubling you or challenging you, or you can't work your way through it, scramble it around and find another pathway. And I often look at it as Paul writes in the Gospel, in Romans 12:2, where he talks about the renewing of your mind, having a clearer perspective and leading from the Holy Spirit as we start to see things clearer and take on the mind of Christ and see the world as our loving Father does. And I can't think of a better time than now than to actually give God thanks, to be ready, to be proactive, and to love your neighbour as yourself. And we're reminded of this again in Mark's Gospel. And again, we'll know these verses. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And sometimes it does take a little bit of strength to do those things. But the second is this. It's to love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment which is greater than these. Some of you may remember, I don't know, who watches SBS News here? A couple of hands going up. Yeah, it's sometimes. It's one of the most informative world newses that you actually can get. And between 2013 and 2016, they had a little tagline that they used to put up before the news. Does anybody know what that might have been? It simply read 7.3 billion stories to be told. All right, 7.3. Now, what they were referring to is the population of the world. Now, they didn't actually say there were 3 billion stories out of the 7.3 to be told, or 4 billion out of the 7.3. They said 7.3. They included everybody, every soul, every person. There's 7.8 billion people living in our world right now on this wonderful planet. And every story I want to tell you is unique. Every story is very real and every story is special. And each story is lovingly watched by our Heavenly Father. And everyone is precious in His sight. And I don't know what it does to you, but it certainly stops me in my tracks and makes me think outside my bubble. I live down at Moffat Beach. It's a good bubble. But I've got to think outside that space. And I know Donnie's half the community and he doesn't think just here. He thinks wider. And God wants us to think outside our world and reframe things and see the world as He does. I just want to close with a few little things here and be about another 5-6 minutes, but I want to talk to you about Micah 6:8. It's a beautiful piece of scripture in the Bible, and it's one that I put on my little tagline at the bottom of my emails with Baptist World Aid. And it simply says this: He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? There's only three things. First one is to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, to walk humbly with your God is the basis of loving mercy and doing justice because of what God has done. And we fully invest in healing the world around us through mercy and justice. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to think about it that way before. Cultivating our walk with God provides the power and the passion for us to fully engage, and it grounds us in absolutely everything that we do. Secondly, God desires us to love mercy, right? Or in some translations, kindness. There's a Hebrew word for this, which is hes, which can be used to refer to God's loving kindness to us. It is interesting to note that God wants us to be drawn to mercy, to have compassion for those in need. And this is not always easy for us because we see so much human need, we're bombarded with it in the media, and it's very easy for us sometimes to allow our hearts to become hardened and our minds to judge. But finally, God tells us to do justice. Perhaps you might struggle to know what it means to do justice. Some of you sitting here right now might be thinking, well, how did I do justice in this past week? Doing justice is just doing right by your fellow man. It's as simple as that. And at Baptist World Aid, our definition of justice is to create a world where all people have equal opportunity to fully develop the gifts that God has placed within them, that special uniqueness. Doing justice is also developmental, which means that we don't simply give things away to meet a need. Now, that's good, but that's there one day and can be gone the next. So what we do is we help people help themselves. And there's a very well-known fishing metaphor. We don't just give people fish. We actually teach them how to fish. And in our daily lives, we all have the opportunity to do justice with actions that help people help themselves. In this, we are creating an environment where people can thrive and achieve to their full potential. What I'd like to just quickly talk about now is a couple of ways that you could maybe be engaged with Baptist World Aid. Like I said, this year's been one like we've never seen before, and it's been a struggle for us in one sense because the projects have not doubled, they have not quadrupled, they've gone to tenfold plus and they keep coming in. But God's also been absolutely amazing. Through the people of Australia, there's been incredible support. And so I want to just say thank you for that and the opportunities that we have to tell you these stories. But there is one thing that I will ask you to do, and it's not a financial thing at all. I want you guys to remember us in our prayers because prayer is such a powerful thing. And through prayer, this is where ministry, we hear about miracles and testimony. And testimony is God's goodness and what he's doing out there. There's a couple of things that I might just let you know that if you want to contribute in another way, because of COVID, we've actually struggled this year. The only program that's really struggled is our child sponsorship. If you don't sponsor a child, consider it. It is an incredible journey that you can go on. It doesn't cost a lot of money. But at the same time, you're sowing those little seeds. You're putting the deposits into a child's life. And I've got a few sponsored children over there that you can look at from different countries if interested. The other thing that we do is I talked about community development projects. And when we do a community development project, we do it for a 9-year period. And we work with Christian partners on the ground. And those Christian partners are highly trained and they're local people. And we work with the local evangelical churches in the area as well. And when you sponsor a child, you're also committing to helping their community. And with these community projects that we do, we create kids clubs that plug and dovetail into these evangelical churches. And the whole process is to take them out of this poverty cycle and to teach them how to fish, to teach them how to live and work on their own and become independent. And we do that through the love of Christ. The other thing that we do with our children is we put them in these kids clubs that where they're taught what the love of Jesus is all about. But not just that, we teach them leadership skills, because we look at those children as the next kids that are going to be the future leaders of that next village or community. And that's how Baptist World Aid works. But we also do little things like, and you can grab one of these at the end, but I have all these little cards. There's one with a chook on it. There's one with a pig on it, kids, if you like pigs. But you can purchase pigs or chooks, or it could be a toilet or shelter, or it could be some other form of aid to actually sow into a community. And we do it in a gift card so that you can give that to somebody for Christmas as a present, knowing that they can be part of that process when you're seeding into a community. So there's so many things that you can get involved in. And for those online, the best thing is just go to www.baptistworldaid.org.au. You can sponsor children online. You can buy gifts online. But you can also get prayer letters. You can find out more about what we do. We also do disaster relief, and I will just mention that one quickly, because when there's a major flood, cyclone, earthquake, or something that is of significance, World Aid is normally one of the first there. And I'll give you an example of this. When the blast happened in Lebanon, Baptist World Aid, because we've got partners there working with the refugee camps, we were one of the first ones on the ground. And it was in the form of aid with medical supplies. It was in the form of shelter. It was in form also of skills and teaching other NGOs and the people on the ground on how to get back on their feet. And we don't like to go into one place and then quickly leave. It's a bit like, again, teaching them how to fish. We stay. We have partnerships on the ground to keep sowing God's love. There are so many things that I could keep talking about, but time is precious. But I do want to leave you with one thing that is very close to my heart. I am blessed. There's a generational blessing, I think, on my family in many different ways. And I've got some great heritage. My grandparents were both missionaries in China. And they met each other there, actually, back in 1927 with the China Inland Mission. Some of you may have been familiar with them. Grandpa came from Birmingham in England. Grandma came from San Francisco, shipped themselves out and met each other up in Shanghai at China Inland Mission School, and got married, and they felt God was calling them to inner China, way out west in a little town called Dali, which is down in the province of Yunnan. Now, my grandmother and grandfather, they believed that they were there for the rest of their life. That was God's calling. It was their time to plant seeds, water, turn the soil, harvest the crop, pick the fruit. But unfortunately, in 1937, they had to leave, and as communism had actually hit China, and they were chased out. And it was a matter of being chased out or you would lose your life. And my father had been born there as well. And I remember as a young child hearing all these stories, these amazing stories about these dear Chinese people, and even getting there where they walked in by foot hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles to get to the destination. That's how much they believed the call of God was in their life. And I don't know if you heard of the Moravians. They used to put their coffins on the roof of their Cobb and Co. coach and head off. They packed all their worldly possessions in there because they believed that being a missionary was a one-way trip and you wouldn't be coming back home. I got, God's amazing. It's another miracle story we might share one day, but God actually opened up the door for me to go back into that little town only 8 years ago in China with a dear Chinese Christian pastor friend of mine. And how that came about was a miracle. And I went back into that town to visit where my grandparents had been. And the very Bible school and the very church that they actually taught and sowed seeds in the love of Jesus was still operating today. And this Bible school had 53 minority groups coming down from the Tibetan mountains to come and hear the gospel, to be taught how to be pastors and sent back out. So those things do happen in China. And I met with one of the big leaders in Yunnan. And this Chinese gentleman, I was telling him the story about my grandfather, who I remember when I was young weeping because he could not go back into China. Weeping because he believed that he was going to be there for life, and weeping because he believed there was so much work to be done. And I told the story to this beautiful Christian pastor. And as I was saying, he had tears pouring down his face. And I went, oh, I wonder what's going on there. And then through his interpreter, he said to me, the words I'll never forget. He said, it's because of your grandmother and your grandfather, there are now millions and millions and millions of Chinese who love the Lord Jesus Christ here today in China. All right, time could stop still at that moment because it was so profound. See, my grandfather and grandmother did the seed planting. All right, little bits and pieces were done, but others came through and watered. Others came through, did the harvest. Others came through and picked the fruit, and the cycle continues. God is just amazing. And it goes back to that Micah 6:8. Are we loving mercy? Are we doing justice? Are we walking humbly with our God? And God has got a plan for every one of us. So I'm going to leave it with that now. I'd like to close in prayer, but I will say this in John 4, verse 37. It does say, the saying says, that one sows and the other one reaps. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labour. And so even if you sponsor a child, or even if you buy a chicken, there are all those little things, those seed plantings that other people continue the work with. But I'll be on the table. We won't have much time because we have another thing happening here at 11 o'clock. But please have a chat to me. If we can't today, take my card if you want to get involved in some way. But Donnie, thank you so much for allowing me to come and speak today. It's been a real privilege. But how about we just bow our heads in prayer and close this morning's service. Our Father God in heaven, we just want to thank you so much for this incredible world that we live in, and for all of mankind, for all of humanity, because everyone is special in your sight. And Lord, I just pray for this church too. I just pray for Kiwana and this community as they reach out. And it's just those little things that we can deposit that will make all the difference. And Lord, we do give you thanks. We do show gratitude. You're an amazing, loving Father. And so, Lord, I just pray a blessing on this whole community. And we pray a blessing on the rest of this day and for this week ahead as we live for you in absolutely everything we do. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.